Hello, America. I'm Mark Levin. This is Life, Liberty, and Levin. Dan Bongino, how are you, my friend? You are my friend.
Yes, yes.
One of my best friends.
Well, you've always been a source of good advice to me, and I always appreciate that.
Well, you're a good man and a great patriot. You were with the New York Police Department, Secret Service. You ran for office, came that close to being a member of Congress and irrelevant.
Yeah.
So here you are now, a patriot.
Thank you.
We see you on Fox a lot. You're fairly ubiquitous, and that's very important because you bring a different experience, background to these events that are taking place involving at least on the surface law enforcement and that sort of thing. You've been looking at this Russia issue, this non-Russia issue now for years. You've been analyzing it as a former cop, as a former Secret Service agent. You have a unique perspective in that regard. First of all, from a global point of view, this was the greatest setup and political spectacle, not just in modern history, I think, but in all of American history. Do you agree? Because it included instrumentalities of the federal government and the Obama administration.
There's no question about that. That is not even a remotely hyperbolic statement. And in a moment of self-deprecation, but it's necessary to set this up, I got to be honest with you, as a former federal agent, when I first heard about and got inklings of this case from a source of mine, Mark, I gaffed it off. I said, there's no way this happened. I said, having been a GS 1811 federal agent, there were just too many
controls. And that's
very
high, by the way.
Yeah, there's too many controls built in. There's no way the FBI at the upper level and the intel community would have had the temerity to do this. And it's only when this source of mine started giving me information that later became vindicated where I looked, Mark, and came to the conclusion you just accurately stated. This is unquestionably the biggest scandal, political scandal, in American history. There's not even a close second. Unbelievable what happened.
Does it amaze you, as bad as the media are, and the media in this country, I mean, I wrote a whole book on it, it really is an unfree press. Does it amaze you, though, that when you have Obama officials and other officials at the highest levels of federal law enforcement, the highest levels of our federal diplomatic corps, the State Department, and the highest levels of our intelligence agencies, working to destroy the candidacy of a candidate, then working to destroy the transition period, and still working today to destroy the presidency, and the media largely has thrown in with them? I mean, as an American citizen, you got to sit back and say, the hell's going on here?
You know, like any American patriot, I support the free press. But as I always say, they're free to be stupid. And unfortunately, they've taken us up on the offer. What's fascinating here, Mark, is there are actual transmission texts, emails, documents out there showing there was intimate involvement of the White House in this scandal. If any entrepreneurial media person would just look at it, we have this text, the White House is running this, talking about the circumstances surrounding the investigation. Right around the time the investigation's happening, we have this other text between the players. The White House wants, no, POTUS, President of the United States, an acronym, wants to know everything we're doing. We have John Brennan up on Capitol Hill saying, I gave the briefing about the case to the Gang of Eight.
Former CIA director.
Former CIA director. I gave the briefing, and I'm doing this in conjunction with the White House. I mean, none of this is, you can Google this. You can look on the internet and find this. It's not some special skill Dan Bongino had. And yet nobody, Mark, in the media on the left side seems even remotely curious, again, about the biggest political scandal of our time. It's really unfathomable what's going on. It's so outlandish.
You had spies inserted into the Trump campaign by the FBI. You had lies fed to the FISA court, a federal court. Federal district court judges run the FISA courts by the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice. You had the unmasking of American citizens, including from people at the White House, yep, as well as from the UN and others, on a scale we've never seen in modern times. You've had the leaking, the felonious leaking of information, so-called investigative information, trying to push the ball with the public against candidate Trump and now President Trump. You had leaking by the head of the FBI. He denied it. He's a liar. And he also wrote self-serving memos that belonged to the government, and he leaked some of those. The number two at the FBI, McCabe, a leaker, and then lied about it, and is now potentially facing criminal charges. The general counsel of the FBI forced to resign. The top level of the FBI wiped out.
Yeah.
Your book, you have a brand new book coming out, Exonerated, The Failed Takedown of President Donald Trump by the Swamp. You have to ask yourself, I do, how did they not take this man down, given they used every instrumentality of the federal government and the press and Congress? This one man, this outsider, who would not be taken down, and they did everything they can, and they're still doing everything they can take them down. How do you explain that?
Well, that's why I wrote the follow-up to my first book, Spygate. My first book was written on this case in more of a police file format, so you didn't have to read it like a narrative. You could jump to chapter 6, oh, let's read about this player, and then to chapter 2, wherever you wanted to start. And I found the mistake, I don't want to say mistake, I did that deliberately, but one of the things I left out is I didn't tell the whole story in a narrative format that you just laid out in a minute and a half. I lay it out very simply, like I call this a spy story. For idiots.
And by the way, it reads like a spy story.
Oh, well, thank you. I tell it, the events, in a narrative format so you can read from start to finish, and I break it down very simply into, here was Obama's plan A, plan B, and plan C. Of course, I make these names up just for simplicity, but you just spoke about them. They tried unmasking, basically wiretapping in normal parlance. They tried to listen in on the Trump team's phone calls and others. What did they get? Nothing. Zip. Zero. So then when that didn't work, they move on to plan B, using the FISA courts to formalize the spying process through our courts designed to get our, you know, terrorists and enemies of the United States. When that didn't work out, then what do? They go to the media, and they tried to use the media to build public support for a special counsel with the assistance of James Comey, and upper-level people in the FBI. And what do? They get their wish, and Bob Mueller doubles down. And now we've seen phase four of this. I should have added an appendix, plan D. Now we have Jerry Nadler and the ridiculous impeachment, which is just, again, a continuous of polluted river where they just will not let it go. But that's what I did in this book. I tried to tell it as a continuous story, and it was based on a viral speech I did about it. Because when you tell it as a police file, sometimes the players get disconnected.
I'll tell you why your book is actually fabulous. It's a fabulous book, and I did learn a lot of new things here, but I didn't just learn new things. There's a blockbuster revelation in here. May I touch on it? And you can see the extent to which you want to expand on it, which is one of the reasons I wanted to have you here. And that is, this is a blueprint. What they've done to President Trump is a blueprint that they finally got to execute thanks to the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. What is this blueprint?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. When the unmaskings, plan A for them, didn't work, in other words, they're spying on the Trump team, waiting for this evidence of collusion, for Trump to be talking to Putin, hey, guy, let's overthrow the U.S. election. Well, nothing happened. Well, instead of the Obama team walking away and saying, sorry, guys, we screwed up, there's no collusion here, they needed to go back and fabricate a collusion story. Well, who better to go to than a guy that already had a collusion story pre-written? I call it the movie script, the plug-and-play plot in the book. Glenn Simpson, who is the proprietors of Fusion GPS.
This is the former Wall Street Journal reporter.
Absolutely. Glenn Simpson, Mark, had already written a piece, remember the date, I'm not getting this wrong, in 2007 in the Wall Street Journal about former Soviets' efforts to influence the United States. I talk about this in the book. You read that 2007 Wall Street Journal piece, which he wrote with his now wife, Mary Jacoby, at the time.
And who is she?
She was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal at the time as well. They're now married, right? You read that 2007 piece. The exact same players appear in the dossier. And the format of it, the telling of the story, is very similar, which says to me, they said, hey, we don't have any information on the Trump team. We're making this story up. Well, if we're going to make a story up, let's just plug Trump's name into a story we already have from Glenn Simpson, who was more than happy to take the bait.
Now, let's explore this a little bit. 2007. Which race was that?
John McCain? Yeah.
Against Obama.
Yeah.
And they wanted to use this script with the Russia collusion against McCain.
other people at the Washington Post had already tried this. Rick Davis, who was a campaign a bigwig in the McCain campaign, they had already tried this against McCain because Davis was trying to set up some meetings with some Russians. So the Democrats had already tried to attack McCain, ironically, with this same Russian collusion thing. But what was the choke point? Why didn't they take it further? In other words, Mark, why did the Obama administration jump to spying and the FISA courts and unmasking, while in 2007, that McCain race, roughly in that time period, why did it stop with McCain with just some media leaks? McCain and the Russians, ooh, you know? Well, because George W. Bush was president, and he wasn't going to allow the intelligence community to be weaponized to spy on John McCain. It's very simple at that point. But yes, that's another revelation in the book, not just that they pulled this movie script out and inserted Trump's name into it to make him the bad guy, the antagonist, but that they'd already tried this same thing against McCain. Mark, none of this is new. And when you read it and you read the allegations against McCain, if I took McCain's name out, put Trump in there, you'd say, they've already tried this same thing. None of this is new. And ironically, McCain becomes a player in it later on.
Handing a copy of the dossier through his staffer to the FBI.
Yeah, and the staffer makes a huge, enormous judgment error. You know, he says to this day, one of the staffers, well, you know, we gave it to the FBI to verify it. Well, then why'd you leak it to the media? Listen, you want to give information to the FBI? There's nothing illegal about that. But if you're claiming you did it because you wanted it verified, then why'd you leak it to the media?
This is a controversial point, but I'm going to ask anyway. Was McCain out to get Trump?
Yeah, I think so. And it pains me to say that, given the man's history, but honesty matters, Mark. And I think he wrote, I believe, in his own book, too, that if asked to do it again, he would have, that he thought he did the right thing. And that's up to him to say that. You know, he's not here to defend himself.
I'm not trying to pick on him.
I totally understand.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm only using his own words, that I just don't think he was a big fan of Trump. But it's ironic, given, as I write in a book, that he was subjected to these...
Did he know he was subjected to
this? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they had to make moves with Rick Davis, and they had to detach themselves from Oleg Deripaska, this key Russian in the Trump
government. But the difference here is, as you point out, the Democrats control the apparatus.
Now Obama controls the apparatus. And instead of just leaking stories to the media about McCain being attached to the Russians, they leak story to the media about Trump with the Russians, and then they double down on the court system.
When we come back, I'm going to ask you, how is it possible that Barack Obama wouldn't know most of this or all of this? Folks, don't forget, most weeknights you can watch me on Levin TV. Levin TV. Here's how you sign up, and we'd love to have you. Call 844-LEVIN-TV, 844-LEVIN-TV, or go to blazetv.com/mark, blazetv.com/mark, and sign up there. Here's the Bongino book, Exonerated. Strongly recommend it. Here's the Levin book, Unfreedom of the Press. Strongly recommend it. I can have one book on one end of the shelf and one book on the other end of the shelf. We'll be right back. Dan Bongino, Barack Obama, in my estimate, was a terrible president, but still he was hands-on. He knew what was going on in his White House. He had his surrogate, that's apparatchiks, who reported back to him. He was very interested in his press coverage. Most presidents are. He would get a... National intelligence briefing, like most presidents, twice a day. How is it possible that the president of the United States wouldn't know most of what's been taking place when his government, let's be honest, his government, his administration is targeting the Republican candidate for president, the transition of the Republican candidate who won the presidency, and has a meeting in January with his senior folks going over the so-called Russia issue and Donald Trump. And then his national security advisor, Susan Rice, writes a memo, backtimes it,
right,
to cover their tail, right, on what they're doing. And by the way, the media is not interested in one word of this. House Judiciary Committee is not interested in one word of this. So how is it possible Obama didn't know most of this?
Well, it's not. It's utterly absurd, ridiculous, outlandish, outrageous. I mean, I run out of modifiers to describe how stupid the idea that Barack Obama didn't know while he was president that you were investigating the Republican nominee for colluding with the Russians to overthrow the results of a U.S. election. Putting the ridiculousness of that aside for a minute, because, you know, unlike liberals, we produce evidence. We're not allergic to facts on your show like they are. I laid out before to you, there are texts, there are transmissions The White House wants to know everything we're doing right around the time they opened the case. What do you think they were talking about? Playing tiddlywinks? The White House wants to know everything we're doing, talking about their baking recipes. And then you have the other one. POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. Oh, the White House is running this is another one. Then we have meetings at the White House in the October-September period with John Brennan's deputy. At the White House, we have emails between Andy McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI, and his lead lawyer, Lisa Page, talking about how they're going to coordinate their story with this deputy director of the CIA for this White House meeting on this case. Again, what do you think they were talking about there, Mark? Again, none of this is cryptic. They're not special emails I was given privy to. This is out there. Now, we put it together in the book.
It's in your new book.
It's in the book, and you'll see all the evidence that the White House was running this. But I think the final point on this is one that Andy McCarthy has made before as well. Mark, the sole purpose of counterintelligence investigations at this level is to inform the president on intel matters. They are not criminal investigations or criminal probes. Are you seriously telling me that an investigation designed to inform the president was kept from the president because it was Donald Trump, the Republican nominee?
Now, why would they keep it from?
They wouldn't. But can I make one more point? Because you brought up the Susan Rice email, which you brought in January, the famous January Susan Rice email to herself, where we said President Obama said to do everything by the book. You know, there's a terrible movie, G.I. Jane, but there's a quote in the movie that's really funny where the commander of the base says to her, people who don't want to make statements don't make statements about not making statements. You don't make a statement, Barack Obama said to do everything by the book, if you're not making a statement. In other words, that he wasn't doing everything by the book. Who have you ever sent an email to yourself and said, Mark Levin, tell Mark Levin to do everything by the book? It's so ridiculous.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. With this Nadler now running this Soviet-style investigation where he's already announced the president's committed crimes, I don't believe the president, he's obstructed justice, he's done, but we're going to do an investigation. If that's not Stalinistic, I don't know what it is. He's an embarrassment. What he's doing to the House is an embarrassment. But he wants to get to the bottom of all this. Has he called Susan Rice as a witness ever?
No.
Has he called James Comey as a witness ever?
Scott Free.
Has he called McCabe as a witness ever?
Nope.
Baker? Stroke? Page?
In the wind.
How about Sally Yates, the former acting attorney general of the United States who helped set up General Flynn?
That's right.
Did you call him?
No.
How about Joe Biden, who was vice president of the United States? We're told the most active vice president of the United States in American history, even more than John Adams, I guess. Has he been called to testify?
No.
How about Barack Obama? Has he been called to testify? How about any of their documents? Any subpoenas for their documents from Elijah Cummings or anybody like
Obama's
that?
Obama's making movies on Netflix.
Obama's making movies on Netflix. So nothing.
Nope.
So they don't want to get to the bottom of anything.
No, and interestingly enough, Joe Biden, the Washington Post themselves have reported on Joe Biden going to Ukraine and his son getting this big job in Ukraine right after he conveniently leaves while Democratic operatives are working with key Ukrainians to target Trump. Nothing to see there, Mark. Don't you? I thought we cared about foreign collusion. Well, the real answer is we only care about foreign collusion when it doesn't involve Democrats. And on the Nadler front, are you seriously telling me Jerry Nadler, one of the weakest members of Congress, a failed politician at every level, Jerry Nadler, is going to manage to uncover on Donald Trump with the FBI, the CIA, the Southern District of New York, the District of Washington, the Eastern District of Virginia, basically the entire upper level of our intel and law enforcement community couldn't find. No, Mark, Jerry Nadler is going to get to the bottom of it. He's definitely going to be the one who finds.
You know, when we get back, I want to ask you about this guy Steele.
Yeah.
In his collusion with the Russians, because you point that out in your new book. But before we do that, you raise a very, very interesting point. So here we have this phony impeachment investigation. And I want the American people to understand the way this is supposed to work is the entire House of Representatives votes on whether or not to pursue an impeachment inquiry. A single committee of the House, which is populated by every left-wing kook imaginable,
right,
is not supposed to be driving this.
Right.
This is nothing more, and I said it months ago, but I want to reiterate this. On the taxpayer dime, the Democrat Party has hijacked the House of Representatives using staff and our dollars to conduct opposition research to try and defeat the President of the United States in 2020, working with the Attorney General in New York on tax returns, working with Vance Jr., the DA in Manhattan, working on tax returns. Mm-hmm. Their conduct is diabolical, and they're undermining the Constitution, and they're distracting the American people. We have all these challenges in front of us. I just wanted to make that point. But when we come back, I want to address this Steele issue, this Christopher Steele, this former British spy. And who exactly is it, truly, who was colluding with the Russians? We'll be right back. You know, Dan Bond Jr., this guy Christopher Steele, still kind of a mystery to the American people. Guy's a foreign ex-spy. You talk about getting involved in our politics.
Yeah.
This guy was involved in our politics more than Obama. And Obama was involved in trying to change the outcome of this campaign more than anybody else, as far as I'm concerned, his government was. He's a seedy character, and yet he is a useful tool.
Yes.
For people at the FBI, for the Hillary Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, all these people and entities. But in your book, you explain this isn't his first act, is it?
No. And the question also, as you just accurately stated, is why was he a useful tool? Why did the FBI need Steele? Now, if we go back to the beginning of the show and we discuss the movie script, remember, they have to fabricate charges against Trump, which becomes the dossier. That movie script, it's made up. It's a fabricated fairy tale, the dossier, about Donald Trump and these sexual episodes, these gross stories. It's all, Mark, it's all made up. Where does Steele fit into this puzzle, and why do they need Steele? I believe calling it the Steele dossier is a huge mistake that plays into the hands of the left. And there's a reason they call it the Steele dossier. It's not the Steele dossier. It's the Simpson, Jacoby, Fusion GPS, Steele dossier. They need to put someone's name on it, this fake movie script story they have, to sell it to the FBI. It can't be Glenn Simpson's name. He was a reporter who's being paid by Hillary Clinton. So they must be sitting around a room and saying, okay, well, if Glenn Simpson walks us into the FBI, someone's going to see right through this and say, well, let me get this straight. A former journalist working for Hillary produces this movie script about Donald Trump being this evil colluder with Putin? I don't believe it. Someone says, light bulb moment, eureka, I got an idea. We used to work with this credible source because he had been credible in the past, Steele. We do facts here. He had produced information for the FBI in the FIFA case, the soccer scandal, and it was credible. Now, as you know, being a lawyer yourself, having worked in the Department of Justice, me having been an agent, there's nothing more valuable than a source that's appeared in court before or his information has been used credibly. He doesn't have to go through the exact same verification as a news source. Someone probably said, hey, you know what? This guy Steele would be great. He worked for us before. What if we slapped the movie script information on a dossier, put Steele's name on it? Hey, look what I've got. And then we give it to the FBI and they say, oh, this guy Steele is wonderful. What's interesting about that, too, is there were some reports about Glenn Simpson's wife, Mary Jacoby, who wrote a Facebook post. Again, this is in the book that got taken down, where it seems she was upset that Steele was getting credit for the movie script fairy tale dossier.
And not her husband?
And not her husband. And she deletes the post later on where she says, hey, I just want everybody to know, basically, my husband Glenn is the one who took Trump down. Like, and she deletes it later on because she can't have that. It's got to be the Steele dossier.
Now, Steele, you explain, more than a decade ago, was colluding with the Russians. Explain that.
When Steele, right before the signing of the first FISA warrant in October of 2016, Christopher Steele makes a critical mistake. He goes in and he speaks with Kathleen Kavalek of the State Department, the Obama State Department. And Kavalek, who I don't think is a hero in this case, but is suspicious of Steele's information. Remember, this is all fake. This dossier is made up. The Carter Page charges, the nasty stuff.
So he's trying to push it out wherever he can.
Everywhere.
And he goes to state.
If you're a football fan, he's doing the flood the zone strategy. If he sends the information to 100 different places, someone's going to believe it. So he goes to the State Department. This is a critical mistake. Because he meets a skeptic. Again, I'm not painting her out to be a hero, but I don't think she wants to be embarrassed either. She takes notes. Big mistake on her meeting with Steele. Remember, this is before the FBI swears the Steele dossier, which is fake, is real. Before. A couple of things pop out. Number one, unbelievably, Steele tells Kavalek, as she indicates in a note. The note literally says, sources. She's interviewing Steele, referencing his sources. It says, Trubnikov and Surkov. You have to look because her writing's awful. Trubnikov and Surkov.
Sounds Russian.
You would be correct. Ding, ding, ding. I read this. It took me a couple days to read. I started doing my homework. Trubnikov is a former upper-level Russian intelligence official who, ironically, runs with this network of people that knows Stefan Halper, the spy who spied on the Trump team. It gets better. The second source, she indicates in her notes, from Steele's own meeting, is a guy named Surkoff, who writes a piece. It's covered by Newsweek, this Newsweek article. He writes a piece talking about how we own you, the Russians. We own you in America. We get into your minds. We corrupt your process. This guy Surkoff actually wrote that. And he's heavily involved with Putin and heavily involved in this Russian industrial project that Hillary Clinton, Skolkovo, the Skolkovo project, some of the people in this project donated to the Clinton Foundation, and Hillary actually pushed this program to American companies.
So what is Steele doing with these two Russians?
Steele's indicating to Kavalek in some way that now, are they his direct sources? That's an open question. Are they secondary, tertiary? We don't know. In other words, is someone feeding it to someone who's feeding it to him? That we're not sure of. But what we are sure of is he undoubtedly told Kathleen Kavalek in a written note that the guy who put together the fake dossier against Trump was using Putin-connected Russians to get the information. Now, you might be saying to yourself, wait, I thought that's what Trump was doing. No, no, that's what Steele was doing. It's on paper.
So the accusers were working wittingly or unwittingly, directly or indirectly, with Putin and the Russians. And
it's
the victim,
undeniable.
The President of the United States, is the one who's investigated. And now they want to impeach him. Does it get any sicker than this? We'll be right back. The book is called Exonerated. It comes out really in a few days.
Yep.
You can get on Amazon.com. It is a fascinating book. And
thank you.
What I like about it is it's clear. It's in plain English. And you're able to follow the points. And you have a chapter, a very significant chapter, given the timing, on Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And his collusion with the Ukrainian government, which, again, the media don't want to touch, but you hammer it. Explain.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating that I wrote this whole story about how Trump allegedly colluded with the Russians when, in fact, the Democrats were colluding with the Russians. And then at the end, I thought, you know who's escaped scrutiny in this whole thing? Biden. Now, Joe Biden, back in April, I believe it was 2014, takes a trip to Ukraine. After he leaves Ukraine, because he's the point man in the region, his son gets this lucrative contract to be a consultant with a natural gas company in Ukraine called Burisma. Mark.
Well, that's two strikes. That's natural gas, which I thought they wanted to get rid of.
Right.
And then a special deal for his son, because his son really wasn't qualified to do any of that.
No experience whatsoever in the natural gas arena. Now, this is above and beyond all his conflicts with China and other stuff, the son. This is specifically Ukraine. Why does Ukraine matter, though? So, again, Biden goes there right after that. And then the company winds up being investigated by the prosecutor general in Ukraine. What's fascinating is Biden's actually on tape. Biden is like the Teddy Ruxpin of gaffes. I mean, you stick a quarter in this guy, he makes a gaffe every time. It's just unfathomable how he can't keep his mouth shut. Biden is actually on tape. Anyone can look at it on YouTube. On tape suggesting that the prosecutor general investigating the entire operation around the company that hired his son, he says, I want this guy fired and I'm not leaving the country. He's on tape until this guy's fired.
Now, meaning the prosecutor.
The prosecutor's investigating the whole operation.
Does he get him fired?
He gets fired, which is amazing. It's on tape. Again, no one in the media outside of, you know, conservative outlets.
This hasn't come up in any debate.
No, and it won't, because the media covers for Biden. You know, old lunch bucket Joe. Listen,
never held a lunch bucket in his life.
Never. He's a corruptocrat like all these other guys out there, which is really shameful. But what's really fascinating is, why does that Ukrainian thing matter? And how does it tie into the book, the Exonerated case, and the Mueller story? Mark, Ukrainians, key Ukrainian political officials, were feeding information to Democrat operatives about Trump players, notably Paul Manafort. Again, this is all out there. We know that. And you may say, well, what's the big deal? Well, what's the big deal? You've just told us for 2 years in the media that foreign collusion during elections was a big deal. We know that Alexandra Chalupa, who left the DNC, was working with key Ukrainians and others and the media to flesh out and pump out stories about Manafort and others, which, again, you just told us foreign collusion was this awful, terrible thing, which it is. But why, when it's the Ukrainians and Democrats, is it let go? And one more point on this. Bruce Orr, who is the upper-level Justice Department official.
Bruce Orr, who was on the staff of the Deputy Attorney General,
yep,
and whose wife worked for Fusion GPS.
That's right.
And who was involved in a lot of the seedy activity taking place in the shadows to try and set up the Trump candidacy and administration.
And or is Steele's handler after he's terminated by the FBI for leaking to the media? Orr's wife, as you accurately stated, works for Fusion GPS, has already stated, Bruce Orr's wife, this justice official, on the record, that some of the information they were getting from Ukrainians. Mark, you know, listen, are we dealing with principles here? Are we dealing with phony frauds? I thought foreign collusion was bad. If foreign collusion is a bad thing, which I agree, then why is the Ukrainian collusion with Nelly Orr, Bruce's wife, and Alexandra Chalupa at the DNC, why isn't Jerry Nadler having hearings about that?
So I assume the House Intelligence Committee, headed by Adam Schiff, is very interested in this.
Yeah.
I assume in the Senate Intelligence Committee, headed by Richard Burr, Republican, is very interested in this.
Yeah.
No interest whatsoever.
No, he's a train wreck, Burr. He's been a disaster in this case from day one. We saw the leaker in the Senate get off nearly scot-free, the staffer. This has been a joke. Sadly, the Senate committee's really dropped the ball. And even worse, we have the texts of Mark Warner, the Democrat from Virginia, the text, him texting a lawyer working for Oleg Deripaska. Who's Oleg Deripaska? Tie it back to the beginning of the show. He appears in the 2007 movie script article in the Wall Street Journal and is a key ally of Vladimir Putin. So let me get this straight. A key Democratic senator on the Senate Intel Committee investigating foreign collusion is texting a lawyer working for a Russian connected to Putin about foreign collusion? Yes, you can read the text yourself.
Let me tell you something. When this is looked back upon in 50 years, you and a handful of others are going to be credited with having revealed this, because this is the most diabolical inside-out job I've ever seen. That is, where the true victim is treated as the perpetrator, and the perpetrators are treated as the patriots. We don't want involvement by the Russians. No, yes, you do. No. We don't want collusion with the Russians. Yeah, no, actually, you do. Because the end justifies the means and anything to win. And so when Mr. Warner gave his speech in one of the hearings on TV and said, this is America, we don't support the intrusion in our elections of foreign powers, to your point, he forgot to mention the Ukraine. But even worse than the Ukraine and Russia was Obama. He and his administration interfering in the election. That is what cannot be accepted. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, you can watch Levin TV most weeknights. Levin TV. Just join up by calling 844-LEVIN-TV, 844-LEVIN-TV, or go to blazetv.com/mark, blazetv.com/mark to sign up. Don't forget this great book, which is just, it's hot off the presses, and it's coming out Tuesday, exonerated by our man, Dan Bongino. And if you think about it, you might want to also pick up On Freedom of the Press. We'll be right back.
The story on the road with Ben Carson.
The focus really needs to be on the people.
Inside his trip and the administration's plan to fix the homeless crisis Monday.
Now, Dan Bongino, one of the things you put in your book that I was unaware of completely, and by the way, I don't think anyone's aware of, is 2 months or so into the Mueller investigation after he was appointed, he knew enough to shut it down.
Absolutely.
So and now, how is that? What is that?
Well, we've established through this show now a couple of things. Obama knows what's going on. They're weaponizing the government to spy on Trump. So, and then they weaponize the government to get an appointment of a special counsel because they can't prosecute Trump and they have to bury this case. So what happens? Well, Mueller's appointed in May of 2017. About 2 months later, and the timeline's a little bit up in the air, we don't know when exactly he sees them, but he gets the infamous texts from the FBI cabal, Peter Stroke, Lisa Page, and others. Mueller gets that file from the inspector general, essentially the internal affairs officer for the government, who says, hey, Bob, you need to look at this. Those are the infamous smelly Walmart people texts, where they start talking about this entire setup, the London connections, and basically
insurance policy, all of it.
Yes, bingo. It is basically a blueprint of the setup and framing of Donald J. Trump. Now, what would any ethical, reasonable person, especially a lawyer like Mueller who knows the system, do? Mark, they would shut it down, if not seek prosecution against the people who did this, if crimes were committed. That's not what happens. What happens is unbelievable. And I haven't seen anyone else report on this connection. Remember July of 2017, some key events happened. That's the quickie raid on Paul Manafort's house in the early morning, right around July of 2017. So let me get this straight. Bob Mueller's reading about these texts and how this is a setup, how this case is a train wreck, how the investigators are corrupted. And instead of turning around and dumping the case and going up in front of the American people and saying, we screwed up, they do an early morning raid on Paul Manafort.
Now, why do they do that?
Because they need to cover their tracks on
it. To show that they're really chasing substantive things.
Manafort is a key player in both the movie script and the dossier. And I believe what they're doing is they're trying to put meat on the bones of the dossier so they can say later, and this is an important takeaway in the book, okay, we screwed up. The dossier's made up. The whole sexual thing and all this other stuff on Trump was fake. But look, Manafort, was a really bad guy. We raided his house in the morning. But who else gets hit? Right around July of 2017, Papadopoulos gets arrested at Dulles Airport. Why? Why Dulles?
He's not even a bit player. He's a no player.
He is the lowest level possible foreign policy advisor. He gets arrested on what we believe to be a PC arrest, which, Mark, in the federal government, that is very rare outside of CBP and uniform
people.
What's
a PC arrest?
That's a probable cause arrest, the equivalent of what a police officer would do. In other words, a non-warrant arrest. I see you fighting with a guy in the street. I arrest you. There's no warrant. That is exceedingly rare.
So they get around the court, basically.
Yes. You were a lawyer. What do? You present a complaint to an assistant United States attorney, gives you an arrest warrant. The cases work in reverse in the federal system. Why would you rush to Dulles Airport to get George Papadopoulos at Dulles when he was going to Chicago, by the way, and could have gotten his lawyer on a PC arrest, very unusual with 1811 federal agents? Why? Because you just got the text and found out what a farce this was. And again, you have to get these guys to shut them up. And that's what they did.
How many Americans were prosecuted for conspiring with the Russians?
None.
For colluding with the Russians?
Zero.
For conveying information to the Russians?
Zero. None.
And Carter Page, the original target, is wandering the earth, a free man. They didn't even think about charging him in the end, and he was the excuse for the FISA warrant and the three extensions, wasn't he?
He was the main player in the dossier, and think about this. To this day, Carter Page is a free man who has never been charged with a single crime, despite having his name absolutely dragged through the mud. Remember, you need two things for that FISA warrant. Probable cause that you're working on behalf of a foreign actor, but it was done in violation of the U.S. law. They did not have that. So you know what they did? They made it up. And what was the violation of U.S. law? The bribery charge against Carter Page, that he was being bribed by this Russian energy company. That was the crime. Totally, completely fabricated.
We'll be right back. Let me ask you this, Dan Bongino. A lot has been made of the U.S. attorney in Connecticut, Durham.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are saying, hopefully he'll get to the bottom of this. What do you think about that?
Well, there are crimes we know about that were committed. The only question is, does Durham know who committed those crimes? We have one, the leak of the Mike Flynn transcript, his call to the Russian ambassador, classified at the highest levels of the U.S. government, to the Washington Post. The leak of that call is an unquestionable federal crime. Does Durham know who did that? I have my suspicions. I'm not going to put it out here now, but I have my suspicions of who that was. We have additional crimes as well. Andrew McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI. You know, we know at this point that he lied to federal agents. He can talk about his motive all he wants, but that happened. The only open question is, has Durham nailed down who exactly did this? And I think it's important we understand, because I get, even on my show, I kind of get this back and forth a lot with the listeners. They get upset when only administrative things happen to people, like when all these people had to resign at the top of the FBI. But as you know, being a lawyer, there's a difference between a crime and an administrative screw-up. I do think there's going to be handcuffs on some people. Sadly, some are just going to get away with firing, termination, and ruined reputations. I wish I could say different.
I hope he gets to the bottom of the spying that took place in the campaign, who ordered it, who's responsible for it. I hope he gets to the bottom, really, of the FISA violations, who authorized that. We know who signed all the documents, but the players internally who are behind that. And I hope he gets to the bottom of what was taking place in the Oval Office and around the Oval Office, because so far, nobody has been interested in that. Nobody has investigated that. Not a committee of Congress, not a criminal investigator, and really not the so-called mainstream media. And Obama gets a pass. And Harry Truman used to say the buck stops here. Well, that works with Netflix and Obama, but it doesn't seem to be working with him as president of the United States. You know what? This has been so edifying and so enjoyable, Dan Bongino.
It's an honor.
God bless
you. Thank you so much.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Don't forget that book, Exonerated, folks. And I'll see you next time on Life, Liberty, and Levin.
This hour.
Maybe we'll all have wires coming out of our bodies someday.
Artificial intelligence is transforming the world. From healthcare, this is actually potentially saving people's lives.
Yes, it absolutely is.
Now we're going on self-driving mode?
Yes.
To protecting our troops.
I don't want the kill decision to be made by a sleep-deprived 19-year-old kid.
But what could that mean for humanity?
They'll be godlike in their ability to understand and their powers.
And is AI dangerous in the wrong hands?
The political military version of AI is on the horizon because of the rivalry with China.